You can find out more about the church by visiting meritassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at meritassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
And good morning to you, Brevard County. We want to welcome you to 91.5 FM WMIE, today's Modern Worship. You are listening to the Refresh radio program. My name is Bob Arthurs. I pastor Merit Assembly of God, which brings this radio program to you Monday through Friday, 8:30 of a morning, 5 o'clock of an evening, 10:30 of a morning on WWBC 1510 AM. And if you miss any of those, you can always log on to WMIEFM.com. Scroll down to the bottom of the page to the Listen on Demand feature that they have there. Click on a date that you want to listen to, and bam, there's a whole list of all of the programs that you have available to you. If you click on Refresh with Bob Arthurs, it'll start playing right then, or you can download it. You can listen to it later. You can treat it like a podcast, however you choose to do that. And so we are thankful that you have chosen to make us part of your morning. We want to say thank you to the folks at Jits Concrete. They have been working to advance Brevard County with concrete work and block work for several decades now. 321-536-5804 is their phone number. If you need some work done, we have used them a number of times through the years. They are one of the people at Merit Assembly of God. This family predates me, and I've been there for 27 and a half years. There's only a couple of families that were attending the church that at that time, and you know they're still there. We've got some people at the church. They were there before I was, went away someplace else and came back. But these two families have been with us there for 27 and a half years, and we love them dearly. And we encourage you, if you need block or concrete work done, give them a call. About the highest compliment that I can give to them is we were having a project done, and I talked to the contractor, and he ended up coming back to me, and I told him who I wanted to do the concrete portion of the job, and he said, well, turns out my concrete guy is your concrete guy. And so he was already familiar with their work, and we recommend them highly. 321-536-5804 for any block or concrete work that you need. And I encourage you, make sure that you contact them in advance. Construction is really, it's still going very strong right now. And so don't wait until, you know, Tuesday night and call them up and say, hey, can you come in the morning and pour some concrete for us? That's probably not going to work out well. But you can give them a call, see what timeline that you can work out, and I know that you will be very grateful for the quality of work that they do. We're going to go back to Proverbs chapter 11 today. Proverbs chapter 11, verse number 21. We talked a little bit about this yesterday, but whenever I leave after doing a radio program, I like to do what I do on with church on Sunday, and that is I say, is there anything I forgot? Is there anything I forgot? Is there anything I was supposed to say that I didn't say? And if that's the case, then the next time that I'm able to address the congregation, I share that with them. So we're going to pick up verse number 21, and we will read through all the way to the end of the chapter. And then I'll share with you something that I wanted to say yesterday and ran out of time for. Though they join forces, the wicked will not go unpunished, but the posterity of the righteous will be delivered. As a ring of gold in a swine's snout, so is a lovely woman who lacks discretion. The desire of the righteous is only good, but the expectation of the wicked is wrath. There is one who scatters yet increases more, and there is one who withholds more than is right, but it leads to poverty. The generous soul will be made rich, and he who waters will also be watered himself. The people will curse him who withholds grain, but blessing will be on the head of him who sells it. He who earnestly seeks good finds favor, but trouble will come to him who seeks evil. He who trusts in his riches will fall, but the righteous will flourish like foliage. He who troubles his own house will inherit the wind, and the fool will be servant to the wise of heart. The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he who wins souls is wise. If the righteous will be recompensed on the earth, how much more the ungodly and the sinner? So yesterday, as we ended, I was talking to you about that our righteousness that we live today will manifest in deliverance for our kids and for our grandkids and for our great-grandkids and so on and so on and so on. You know, the Bible talks about that generational curses endure for three or four generations, but the generational blessing that God has will endure for 1,000 generations. And basically, that is not setting, well, you know, don't be the 1,001st generation. It is describing a period of time that says, as long as you are living righteously, it is going to continue and continue and continue. There is no end of it in sight. So why is it then that the devil still tempts us? Well, I will tell you that the devil tempts us because he wants to see us fail. Every time he looks at you, he is reminded of God, because we are created in the image of God. We are created body, soul, and spirit. We carry the presence of God inside of us, and he wants our descendants to not live for God. So what I wanted to tell you yesterday and ran out of time, excuse me, is that we can't afford compromise in our life. If you are running full steam ahead for God in every area, I'm not talking about just in one area. I'm talking about you're living it out at church. You're living it out at home. You're living it out privately. You are living it out at work. Whenever you are doing that, your children are going to see something that they want to emulate, that they want to live life like. But if we have compromise in our life, then our children are going to pick up on that compromise, and they will not keep it at the status quo. They will either be wise and say, you know what, I want to do better in this area of my life than mom and dad did, or they will adopt the other mindset and say, well, I saw compromise in them in this area of their life, and they will run with it even to a greater degree. The one thing that they generally do not do is keep a lukewarm relationship with God. They don't keep it at a lukewarm status. They either want it to be hotter, or they will reject it. They will either embrace it or they will reject it to a greater degree than mom and dad have. So a lot of people say, look, I don't need to go to church in order to be saved. And, you know, salvation is not contingent upon going to church. Going to church does not earn you your salvation. Only the blood of Jesus Christ does that. But going to church is not about earning. We don't go to church to be saved. We go to church because we have been saved. We are saved. We don't look at it as a have to. We look at it as a privilege. And so a number of pastors that I know, we're already back in church and adjusting, but there are churches that are just going to be gathering for the first time in public this coming Sunday, which is Pentecost Sunday. There are, and believe me, there are people who are looking forward to it, not because they have to go, but because they get to go. They get to be with the saints. They get to fellowship with one another. and they get to enjoy the benefits of the body of Christ and build one another up in their most holy faith. Now, I know some people who were raised in the church. And if you talk to them, they are still believers, but they have pretty much rejected the corporate church as a whole. And I will tell you this, the bride of Christ, the church, is not yet spotless. It's not without blemishes. Okay? I tell people that when you see a corporate meeting of saints together or people gathering at church, you have to realize that part of that group is the bride and part of it is the blemish. Sooner or later, Jesus is going to come and he's going to take his bride away. And when he does, it's going to be without spot, without wrinkle, without blemish. And so anything that was not part of the bride, it was part of the blemish, it's going to be left behind. So we cannot afford to say, well, I need to reject the church as a whole because it's not perfect. And it was like, really, what else in society is elevated to that status? I can't think of anything because I can't think of anything that is perfect. My first missions trip I went to, the people were very grateful for us coming. We ministered church in a community that needed the gospel, and the people of the church presented us some handcrafted gifts. After they presented them, missionary's wife that was hosting us said, if you look at those, you will find that in each one of those, there is a flaw. And she said, that flaw is in there intentionally because these people are of the mindset that nothing is perfect but God. They realized that the pastor wasn't perfect, the missionary wasn't perfect, their wife, but it wasn't whether or not they were perfect, it was the fact they were being perfected. They were being refined. And so I know of several situations where people have made adult decisions and they said, I am not going to focus on the attendance of the church. And you know, if that's the decision you've made, you know, you're an adult. You live with the blessings, you live with the consequences of it. And so I'm the type of person that says, look, God's given us the freedom to choose. Let's choose wisely. So my problem with this one situation is that there are kids involved. And because dad has rejected the church, the children, when they grow up, the likelihood is greatly increased that they're going to reject the church even more. And that's really what I want to address in this situation, is be all in for God, because your kids and your grandkids, you don't want them to experience the things that unbelievers are going to experience that you find out in the book of Proverbs here, Revelation and all that sort of stuff. So I'm not here preaching condemnation. I'm just trying to stress the importance to those who are listening of how important it is to live righteous, not just for your own benefit, but for the benefit of those who are going to come after you. Make your life a desirable launching pad so that they will pursue God even more. Verse number 22, as a ring of gold in a swine's snout, that's a pig, by the way, so is a lovely woman who lacks discretion. Now, there are a couple of references, word pictures that are used in the Old Testament that I encourage you not to use on the ladies of your life if you want to have a long, healthy relationship with them. In biblical times, the greatest cattle, quality of cattle, came from a region known as Bashan, B-A-S-H-A-N. And they were premium cattle. And so the Bible, in one place, refers to women as the cows of Bashan. I mean, in that day and time, that was a compliment. But if you go and call the ladies of your life a heifer, it is not going to go well with you. So don't do that. In the same mindset, I want to tell you that it's best not to go comparing the your daughters and your wife to a pig. It's not. That's not going to work out well. They will lay hands on you. So here, the picture that is going on is that there are people who have things of great value, but they're in a position, they are placed upon a creature that is undeserving of such value, such treasure. You know, a gold ring and a pig's snout is the wrong place to put something as valuable as gold. Okay? And then it says this, so is a lovely woman who lacks discretion. I want to encourage you today, don't let your giftings, the special blessings that God has placed into your life, don't let them become the cause of your downfall. This is talking about a person who was very lovely, very pleasant to look at, but because of that, there were temptations that came, and if this person did not have the wisdom and the understanding and the discretion on how to reject those advances, reject those temptations, then even though they are most beautiful, they were going to be most ugly. See, you can be physically beautiful and you can have a very ugly personality. You don't want that. You don't want that. I remember one time going to the high school when my kids were in high school. I had to go there for registration or something like that. And I'm telling you, it was a traumatic experience for me because I saw teenage girls using words that they shouldn't be using. And I saw teenage boys and girls doing things on campus that they shouldn't have been doing. And it was like they are there to gain knowledge, but if they do not have the discretion on how to utilize that knowledge, then it's going to be their downfall. And they need deliverance from that lack of discernment. So you can be a very talented person. You can be very intellectually smart. You can be book smart. You can have qualities that are quite desirable. But if you don't have any common sense, if you don't understand the Word of God, if you do not balance that out and know how to apply it to make your life successful, it's going to be like a gold ring in a pig's snout. And it's not just ladies that have a lack of discretion. I have met a lot of young men who make bad decisions. Okay? Now, I want to tell you what society does. Society says that when young people make bad decisions, oh, well, we really can't do too much to them right now because their minds have not fully developed the intricate systems necessary for them to be able to make mature decisions until they're 24. Can I tell you that that biblical standards kicked in much earlier, around age 12 or 13? A priest retired in the Bible at age 50. He was no longer able to do things. So 24, excuse me, you would put that as somewhere around midlife expectancy in Bible times. And you can't afford to wait that long before you learn discretion and wisdom and knowledge and understanding. We can't afford to squander our young people's lives and just write it off and say, oh, well, you know, Johnny, I know that you're only 22 and you're still making horrible decisions. But, you know, at 24, your brain is going to be capable of making much better decisions. So let me tell you what young people told me when they heard about that statistic. They started using that as an excuse for themselves to be empowered to make poor decisions instead of having a goal set before them that said, I want to start making the best decisions I possibly can as early as I can. You know, my regrets that I live with in life don't generally have to do with bad decisions that I made last week or the week before. There's decisions that I made decades ago, and it's like, man, was that a horrible decision? That had a ripple effect for a long, long time in my life. Excuse me, I'm going to need water here before long. And so I want to encourage you to make discreet, godly choices as early as possible. So back in the 50s or 60s, there was a very influential religious leader, and he said that if you will give me a child up until the time they are 5 years old, I will instill in them the ability to make decisions consistent with their faith their entire life. Now, I pray, you know, that we are successful in doing that, in developing a love for Jesus very early in life, and that it will manifest with a lifelong consistency. I have found that when kids hit 18, society, I really wondered, because there were so many kids hitting 18 and then they were just making bad decisions and not understanding the ramifications of those decisions. It got to the point where I wondered, are they teaching them something in school that says at 18 you're an adult and you don't have to listen to your parents anymore? It was a plague at one point in time, and probably still is now. Because let me tell you, at 18, you may be legally an adult, but you may not be financially in a place to make all of the rules that you want to live by in your life. So let's make sure that we look not just on the superficial, but we look for people who have substance. So I'm very thankful. My kids all have good heads on their shoulders. They love Jesus. They're serving Jesus, and they're serving well at work, and have a great time. We have so much fun. When we get together, we can laugh and laugh and laugh. It is a lot of fun to be around them. You know, Dave Ramsey has a saying. He says, if you live like no one else today, you will be able to live like no one else tomorrow. He says, if you will live with wisdom now, there's going to come a time where your lifestyle is empowered to go well beyond what anybody else around you is doing. And so I want to encourage you, impart discretion, wisdom, and knowledge as young as you can into people's lives, because God really does want to exalt them, lift them up. And I will tell you, a gifted person will not serve in obscurity. The Bible says they will serve before kings. And that is a very good thing. Verse number 23 says, "The desire of the righteous is only good, but the expectation of the wicked is wrath." You know, right now, you can see a great deal of distinction between people's mindsets as to what do they expect in our society here over the next period of time. If you are doing life right, you know, if Jesus is your Savior, your Lord, and He's living in your heart, then your expectation is that God is going to be working for you. If you're trying to do life on your own, if you're trying to live by your own rules, do what is right in your own eyes, you don't want to have anything to do with God, then you know you've got the fight of your life on your hands, and you are probably greatly unnerved, lack of confidence that you're going to be up for victory in this situation. I want to tell you, God does not want you living in a spirit of fear. He wants you living by faith. The just shall live by faith. God has given you the wisdom in the Word, and I pray that you would avail yourself of that so that you will be delivered from wrath, you will be delivered from a lack of discretion, and not only will you be delivered, but the people in your lives will be delivered as well. God will deliver you. So thank God for wisdom. Thank God for righteous men and women that He's blessed us in our lives. I have so many people that I am grateful for their influence in my life. They helped make me the man that I am, and I pray that I will get to be an inspiration to others as well. So God bless you. We pray that you have a great, great day. We've got Bible study tonight at our church, 7 o'clock, and we can't wait for this Sunday where we will be celebrating Pentecost Sunday at Merit Assembly of God. God bless you so much. You have a marvelous day, and we will see you tomorrow right here on the Refresh Radio
Program. Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merit Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember Proverbs 11:25, "He who refreshes others will himself be refreshed."
Why me, Lord? What have I ever done to deserve even one of the pleasures I've known? Tell me, Lord, what I ever do that was worth love from you, or the kindness you've shown? Lord, help me, Jesus, I've wasted it, so help me, Jesus, you know what I am. Now that I know that I'm needing you, so help me, Jesus, my soul's in your hand. Try me, Lord. think there's a way I could ever repay what I've taken from you.